If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
All right, Dave Plyer in for Lisa Dent. You know, Nikki Glaser is coming back to Chicago, and while her May 31st show is sold out, this morning Nikki added a second show on Sunday, June 1st. For tickets, go to NikkiGlaser.com. Nikki is simply on fire. She rocked the Golden Globes earlier this month, the Tom Brady roast last May, and here she is, Nikki Glaser. Nikki, nice to have you back on the show.
Hey!
How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm good.
Man, you're just on fire, like another big tour. You signed an extended deal to host the Golden Globes. But no matter what you do, what I've realized about you is the stage is your safe space, isn't it?
And that is why I spend so much time on stage, is not only because I do feel good up there, but I've wanted to achieve that level of like, I've done this so much, there's nothing to worry about up here. And I truly feel that way on stage now. When I walk out on stage, there is no tension. There is no part of me that's like, oh, what am I going to say? What if this doesn't go right? And I think that's the greatest gift you can give to an audience that comes to see you, is that they don't have anything to worry about with you. Like, you're in good hands, because everyone's biggest fear is public speaking. Not everyone's, but most people's.
Most people.
And when there's this in an audience, I know from being in audiences, like, I just am like, oh my God, are they going to be okay up there? Like, you just kind of worry, even though they're a professional. I like that now. I can assure my audiences, you know, and this has been 20 years in the making, that I am, I've gotten my 10,000 hours at this point almost. You know, I'm better up there than I am anywhere else. I'm more honest there. I'm more comfortable there. I can do more in front of a microphone and say more than I could in a therapy session. And that is 100% true, because I have said things in therapy, and my therapist will be like jaw on the floor, like, I can't believe you just told me that. Thank you so much for this is a safe space. And I go, oh, I just literally said this on stage last night. Like, I kind of was working it out for you. And she's like, you said people. And I'm like, yes, it's easier for me for some reason. So I'm so grateful that that's the case. I don't know what's wrong with me that that's the case, but there's something that makes me feel more at ease if I'm able to, you know, do it under the umbrella of it's entertainment. Like, there's nothing that makes me like hyperbolize in a way or exaggerate. I mean, of course I do that for the sake of entertainment, but the real trueness comes out in myself when I'm in front, when I'm on stage or in front of a camera or with a microphone in me. It's just, it's the truest form of my human self. And it's, thank God, because it's a great career.
It is a great career. And I believe that part of that success is making people uncomfortable.
Making the uncomfortable comfortable, because I don't like making people uncomfortable. And I think that's also a misconception about what I do, is that I love to make people squirm in their seats. I love when the worst thing for me is when I meet people after a show and they're like, oh my God, I brought my dad. This was terrible. Like, I'm like, why would you bring your dad? Like, I don't want people to feel uncomfortable. Yeah. What I want is for people to leave and feel a little bit more comfortable talking about those things and not feeling like criminal about having opinions about these things. Because I think we, especially in the Midwest, I'm from St. Louis, like,
yes,
we carry a lot of shame about everything.
Some guilt, some shame.
Yeah, guilt about just anything that we think about that might not be so nice, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we're all just trying to do our best. And sometimes we have really weird thoughts, and I want us all to feel a little bit more okay about those, because I grew up just having the craziest thoughts and saying the weirdest things and being very shamed for them. Like, girls don't talk that way. Don't say that. That weirds everyone out. And now I make money doing it. So it's kind of, it's nice.
Yes,
but
that's right. Yeah.
I want to release that shame a little bit for myself and others too.
But you talk about people bringing their parents. I'm sure your parents have seen your show. Is that uncomfortable for you or them?
For me, just became a little bit uncomfortable recently, because I think I grew a conscience in the past, you know, 5 or so years. Before then, I really couldn't consider it, because if you do, you wouldn't be able to do what I do.
It's true.
You know, like,
it's
if you let that in at all, it's kind of the way I feel about ghosts. Like, I don't believe in ghosts, but that's just for me to survive. If I kind of do, but I won't let it in, because if I believe in ghosts, I'll be scared all of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've just convinced myself they don't exist so I can like live peacefully in hotel rooms across the country by myself. Yeah. So I guess I just live in a world where when I'm on stage or when I'm creating something, my parents don't exist. Their opinion of me doesn't exist. Because if it did, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. And the times they have been in the room, I've said this before. I mean, I don't know if they'll be at my Chicago show, but if they are, it won't be a different show than if they weren't in the room. Because I always say, you know, if I went to go see Cardi B and she was like, my dad's here tonight, I can't do WAP. And if you know what that stands for, you know what it stands for. You'd be like, "You're my favorite song you can't do because your dad's here." Like that. Don't disservice us because you feel weird in front of your dad. So my parents know that when they come to a show, I'm not going to hold anything back. And they really wouldn't want me to. But that's not to say that it doesn't make them wildly uncomfortable. And my dad once said early on in my career that when he tells himself that I'm like Howard Stern, that it's not like we worship Howard Stern in my house. We do now, but at the time he said it, like, I didn't really know much about Howard Stern, but I guess my dad had this like him up on a pedestal of someone who sometimes gets in trouble, sometimes gets scoffed at and people think is just so dirty, but he's just honest. And he said to me, I just tell myself you're like Howard Stern. You're just being honest. And I loved that. And that's what became, that was the moment I go, who's this Howard Stern guy beyond what I knew from like Private Parts? And now I'm the biggest Howard Stern fan because my dad made that comparison. And now I look at Howard and I'm like, he is just honest. And that's why people don't like him. If they don't like him, it's like he's saying the things that we all don't want to admit to ourselves or hear or admit about ourselves. And but my parents have really done a good job of handling this. But I will say my dad says when he goes to my shows, people come up to him afterwards and like put their arm around him and they're like, are you okay, man? Like almost like he's at my funeral or something. Like, are you good? They send a casserole later that week to the house.
I love that.
Yeah. So I just lucked out with them because they would never want to censor me. My mom has told me, you know what? If you weren't my daughter, I wouldn't enjoy what you do. And I'm always like, wait, I think you're supposed to say, if you weren't my daughter, I could enjoy it. And she goes, no, the only reason I put up with it is because you're my daughter. It's not my type of humor. And I'm like, well, Mom. And she's like, I'm sorry. I don't like it. I think it's sick. And I go, oh, that's why I do it, is because it's a little bit of rebellion against my parents.
I hope so.
Kind of puritanical. not puritanical, because we definitely joked about, not dirty things, but I had a great upbringing of a house of just like irreverent, like hilarious, no holds barred comedy in my house. But in terms of sex, we never spoke of sex in my house. I still haven't gotten the sex talk from my parents. I don't know what it is. That's why I'm trying to figure it out on stage so much. So I think my act is a response to like, oh, you don't want to address the fact that we have, like, you don't want to give me a sex talk. Well, I'm going to give you one every night on the road. So I think it's, you know, I think all art is a slight rebellion against our parents. So I do think it's, that's therein lies the truth.
So going back to the beginning of our conversation, because I am a fan, I wanted to pick those clips that I know are going to make people uncomfortable, but uncomfortably funny. And so that's why I really had to dig around to find something that's just about crossing the line. I could drop a couple words out without getting fined.
Sure.
And we can move on.
Thank you for going on that treasure hunt.
It was great.
I wouldn't want to do that. That would be very hard. I know how hard that is to find stuff.
Well, there's more with Nikki Glaser after a look at your traffic and your weather. What's going out there, Mayor? Dave and Felisa, 720 WGN. Comedian Nikki Glaser is coming back to Chicago. Her May 31st show is sold out. And this morning, Nikki added a second show for Sunday, June 1st. Tickets are at NikkiGlaser.com. So you take life experiences, whether it's drinking, your boyfriend, all of this is really a true relationship between tragedy and comedy. And not that there's a ton of tragedy in your comedy, but awkward growing up moments in your life, you do pull the comedy out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it comes from. I mean, I think most comedians have a really dark side to them of seeing the world kind of for what it is and being terrified of death, being, depressed people. overly analytical people. I suffer with depression a lot, and I have my whole life, and you know, have figured out a way to treat it, but I still struggle with it. It's still something that comes on. I don't get physically sick ever. I'm not trying to brag here, but I don't get colds. I don't get the flu. Yeah. I got COVID and it felt like light PMS. Like, I just don't get physically ill, and I'm always been kind of proud of myself for that. I'm like, wow, God, I have so many friends that are just shut down for a week out of the month because they get some kind of sick. And then I realized, oh, I get mentally sick. Like, I get, it's just a little, it's different though, because I can't call in, you know, depressed to work, which I think we should be able to. I have mental health issues that are more so than most people I know in my life. I'm grateful for them because I think they are why I'm a comedian. Like, my friends, whenever I have a girls chat where, like, me and my best girlfriends from all walks of life, it's like 10 of us, and we just get on there every day and talk about what's going on in our lives and cry about that. We complain about it. And they always say to me, whenever I'm in my worst mood where I'm like complaining or like crying about something, they're always like, God, you are the funniest when you're this way. Like, this, you're making us laugh about the dark things you're saying, because I think when I get the most depressed, I say wild things, you know, like, I just say things that you just don't say and you shouldn't say. And I feel very comfortable there also with my friends sharing things that probably if I shared them with someone else, they'd be like, we need to get Nikki committed to a hospital. But I feel with my friends, they know that it's okay. And so, like, or that I'm going to go off the rails in this way. So it is nice to hear, like, in my darkness comes out the funniest moments. And so I do mind that stuff, you know.
It's great material.
And that's what my new set is about, like, it's some dark topics where I've thought, wow, I'll never be able to make light of these things. And for some reason, it's working.
It is working. You know, I'm so fascinated with how you come up with the subjects you choose, whether it's on stage, doing a roast, or the Golden Globes. It is a lot about sex, but I must say, you also talk about your teeth a lot.
Yeah, I do. That's a good point. I didn't even realize that, but you're not wrong.
I mean, and you use it in about in five different ways. You know, you had buck teeth and what the kids called you, a beaver. And,
Mm-hmm. I've had Invisalign and I still have it. I'm still trying to fix my teeth. And that's the weird thing. It's like also a thing I currently struggle with. It was the first thing I got made fun of and like felt made me feel like ostracized in school was having buck teeth. And then I finally got braces and fixed that. And then I stopped wearing my retainer and they kind of started bucking out again. And then I tried to fix it. And it's still a thing. I'm like, I can't give up on braces because I'm just trying to perfect my smile, which is the thing. It's that no one can even see what I see anymore. That's a problem. You know, I'm kind of like obsessed with it. And so that's so interesting that you were able to realize that through line. Yeah.
Well, Nikki is coming back to Chicago, and today a second show was added to Nikki's sold out show in late May. The new show is Sunday, June 1st at the Chicago Theater. For tickets and more, visit NikkiGlaser.com. So excited to see your show and back in Chicago again, Nikki.
Oh, I'm so excited for you to be there. Thank you so much. I'm so excited for the show. I'm looking forward to filling it up, hopefully. So, and I want to just say, if you buy a ticket to the show, it's not like you're buying a ticket to like Eras Tour where it's like, like your seat doesn't matter. Like, we'll fill it no matter what. Like, I need you there. I'm at a point in my career where like your ticket sale matters to me and it will truly touch a place in my heart that you bought a ticket and decided to spend an evening with me. Like, not that Taylor Swift isn't appreciative of every ticket purchase, but I'm at a place in my career where like, please come see me. This would mean so much to me to sell this theater out. So I just want to put that extra little plea in, which I don't know if is a good idea or not to seem so desperate.
But, I'll get a group of people together. We're all going to be there.
Okay,
everyone's going to
so
be there.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Jesus Christ. That's all I needed. I waited 20 minutes for that.
Thank you, Nikki.
I'm glad I sold at least four tickets here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
All right. Top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom are next on 720 WGN.